From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities, Ed Ossett, University of Minnesota Extension Agricultural Economist, and Brian Stark of the Andersons. Along the way, we'll be joined by Mark Russo of Risk Pulse in Chicago to discuss the weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, nearby corn finished at $4.24, the settlement price up 3.5 cents for the March, the May at 4.26 3/4, 3.5 higher, and December next year at $4.11, 3/4 cent higher. January beans down 4.5 at $11.58 5, the March at $11.62 5, 2.5 lower. November beans up 5.5 cents for the day. They finished at $10.43 3/4. The bean meal at $3.82.30, 3.20 lower, and the bean oil for the day down 38 cents at $38.03. Soft red winter wheat at $5.77 5 up 2, and the hard red at $5.45 5 up 2 3/4, both of those in the lead option. That, of course, is the March contract at this point. Lean hogs, or rather live cattle, for the day at 87.5 cents lower at $108 even, and the feeder cattle at $137.80, $1.97 5 lower, and lean hogs now at $64.95. In the February, down $1.62 5. We're joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to discuss the marketplace. Good Monday afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us. What happened in Chicago?
Well, we had a turnaround Monday here. We squeaked out some green on the screen here for a change. Overnight was a little bit concerning. We were quite a bit lower, particularly in the soybean complex. Kind of went home Friday there for a little bit of a sour note, an idea there was some chances of some moisture in the southern hemisphere, along with some small cancellations from China. Not a huge amount, but just a little hint of that, and no new export news or buying interest from them. So that kind of had the week started off in a negative fashion there. But as we moved into the meat of the day here, we saw the forecast, you know, show that we are going to dry back out in the southern hemisphere. A lot of those moisture readings were kind of hit and miss for the most part. That Mato Grosso area continues to be short-changed. The production estimates coming in just a little bit lower, and shoot, they've only got 90% of the crop in. Well, almost planted, but they're in the early stages, but they're already lower in production prospects for Brazil. Wide ranges, I believe USDA is at 133 million metric tons, but there's some estimates as low as 128 million metric tons. And it's fitting the trend we've seen over the years. I mean, we've seen some good production out of Brazil, but they always start out high and they always ratchet it lower over time. So if those numbers continue to move lower on production concerns, that could provide some support here as we move forward. As we got into the 10 o'clock hour, we saw the export inspections report. We shipped out almost 2.3 million metric tons of beans. So we're moving the beans that we sold. And that gave the bean market a little bit of a boost there. And we held the bean market fairly decent levels until going into the close. And the bear spread kind of kicked in. We've lost some value in the front end, but that back end continues to hold some traction in there. And I think that's one of the ideas. We're going to need to buy some bean acres here this coming crop year. We've got estimates that we need an additional 5 to 6 million acres in trend line yields to keep the balance sheet in positive territory. Monthly supply demand reports out on Thursday. Trade estimates are a little tighter. Bean carryouts estimated to be about 160 million bushels, but some of the trade believes that we could take that carryout estimate down to below 100 million bushels. So there's some urgency to keep the market higher here to ration some remaining supplies of bean inventories that we have. The other thing was world vegetable oil markets down slightly, but not enough to cause a whole lot of concern. We continue to see some fairly good demand on Malaysia palm oil and our U.S. bean oil market in general here, Todd.
Holiday season tends to be fairly light trade and can be, especially as we go into parts of December. We're moving quickly towards Christmas, frankly, this year. And I'm wondering whether you expect there's some more volatility in the market because of weather in South America, the very tight supplies for soybeans in particular, and the demand. Does that gives you any enough information to think volatility will be greater going over the next 3 weeks or not?
I think it's going to hold in there. The volatility reading itself has backed off slightly and through here, but if you look at the bean range today, a 20-cent trading range, and we're going to see some good and ups and downs. And it was extremely volatile for some of the traders today. I believe R.J. O'Brien's order entry system went down. They had to phone it in, couldn't get through. Then Interactive Traders Brokerage House, their order entry system went down. So that makes it even more tense in a sense, I feel, for them, because when the internet goes down or there's a problem, it adds to stress and so forth. But I think we're caught in a sideways trading range. We've got some cycle lows due here in the grain complex here this week, next week. The bulls had Thanksgiving. Maybe the bears might be in control here for a little while. The key is today's lows. You look at those charts, this March corn at 415 area, the beans here at the 1150, 1140 area. If we can stay above that, maybe we can consolidate a little bit and lower the volatility. But if we take out those lows, those commodity funds, still net long, going into year end, we could see some concern here as we move into that 2021.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Now, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock Central, visit our website at willag.org to get yourself registered for this free webinar. I'll be moderating the third in the Illinois Farm Economic Summit series. Tomorrow, ARC PLC, the decision for 2021. Yes, you need to make it again, and this time around, it will include an ECO and SCO component. Gary Schnittke will be there. You should be too. Register at willag.org. Couple of quick items from Washington, D.C. First, the president-elect is leaning towards a former Obama administration, a Secretary of Agriculture, to be his Secretary of Agriculture. Joe Biden is leaning towards Tom Vilsack. He served in the Obama administration as U.S. Secretary of Agriculture and was an early supporter of Joe Biden's campaign for the presidency. Now, outgoing House Ag Chairman Colin Peterson, also a Democrat, has laid down a legislative marker for his successor to use the popular Conservation Reserve Program to address climate pollution. Peterson wants incoming Ag Chair David Scott, the first African-American to head the panel, to harness the popularity of the CRP to capture carbon pollution. Peterson told reporters his bill H.R. 8843 was his parting shot and a marker unlikely to become law before he leaves office.
All this talk about climate change and carbon capture and so forth, I just don't think people have thought about the best program we have to deal with that. And I'm hoping today to put this on the radar screen.
Peterson's bill would add 25 million acres to CRP.
It requires the secretary to, they actually have to sign up 50 million acres and give them 5 years to do it, I think, right? And, under the old program, it allowed them to go up to that level. This would actually require it.
Colin Peterson says his bill uses a successful existing program to pay farmers to store carbon instead of a whole new regime. Others have proposed expanding the less popular Conservation Stewardship Program, or CSP, but Peterson says there's not enough money to do that.
I know David Scott has said to me that he's going to listen to my counsel, so I think what I'm putting forward will have an impact with him. I would assume maybe it would with GT as well, but we're going to have new leadership, and I think they're very capable leaders, and I have no doubt they're going to do a good job.
GT, referring to Republican Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania, he will be the incoming ranking member on the House Ag Committee. Well, on Mondays, we always try to check in with one of the Extension Ag economists from the Midwest states. Today, Ed Usett joins us from the University of Minnesota, where he serves as University of Minnesota Extension Agricultural Economist. Thanks for being with us, Ed. We appreciate that a lot. I'd like to aim at the 2021 growing season and corn and soybean sales in particular. I don't know where you stand on this at this point, but we've had a big rally in the marketplace, and I don't know whether that means much for the incoming crop year or not.
Well, I think it means a lot. I'm looking at, for example, the November 2021 soybean contract. And it's not just the nearby that's had a run-up. That contract bottomed out somewhere in the 830 to 840 a bushel level last spring. And latest I'm looking at, we're just shy of 1050 a bushel. We're up $2 a bushel in a matter of months. And it's been an incredible run-up. Soybeans have been, I think, news number one, followed very closely by corn, news number two over the last few months. These are great prices. I think they are profitable for producers looking out the year ahead. And because of that, you got to believe there's going to be more soybean acres in 2021. I'm not smart enough to say how many more. I don't know if that's 3 million more acres, 5 million more acres, or 7 million more acres. But I got to believe, Todd, that your listeners are looking at today's soybean price, and it's got to be the most favorable thing on their plates. Got to be beating wheat, even though wheat prices have had a nice rally. And I got to believe it's beating corn. We're going to see more soybean acres in 2021.
So producers will be thinking themselves right now, but Ed, I was early in my sales for the 2020 growing season. And we know that's the case because 85% of the soybeans are said to have been marketed already. And producers don't want to miss out again. So they were early last time around. Are you fearful they'll be late if they don't start this time around?
Oh, I'm not ready to say people are going to be late. I don't know how much run this thing has, but at some point, and by the way, I got a comment on the being too early. That's the seller's lament in an up market. I sold too early. And the only relevant question is, did you make money on it? Have you had a good year? And I got to believe between special payments and the sales at higher prices, we've done okay in 2020. And the last thing I'll say about that is I always tell producers, stop, look, you know, try. It's hard to do. It's easy for me to say, hard to do. Don't look back at old decisions. They're done. They're gone. Don't look back. Look ahead. Always look ahead. And I can't help but look at November beans at close to 1050 a bushel and say, boy, that's a pretty good opportunity. And if you're a fatalist and you believe that this guy is going to talk me into selling too early again and the market will keep going up, well, I suggest you try to trick the market. Sell a little bit. Sell 10% of a crop and hope like heck that you're mad at that University of Minnesota guy who talked you into selling too early. You know, just trick the market. Give a little bit out there. Get a little on the table and hope like heck that I'm wrong. But I got to believe we're going to start taking a new look at this market. Certainly, with this seems to be a pattern with us. We are focused on this year's crop, and of course, right now, we're looking at China demand, and we're looking at South American weather. But somehow, when we turn to January 1, all of a sudden, we're going to start talking about, well, let's talk about 2021. Let's talk about how many acres are going to get planted.
And when we do that, we're going to see some big numbers pop up.
Hey, Ed, thanks for joining us today.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Ed Usett. He's an agricultural economist at University of Minnesota Extension. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the weather forecast here in the United States, and start in whichever areas you find most important.
Well, big picture-wise, it's a pretty quiet early to middle portion of December. As we look out over the next couple of weeks, we see a lack of any kind of major cold air outbreaks and a lack of any kind of, you know, major winter storms across actually much of the central U.S. and for that matter on the East Coast and West Coast. And in fact, here in the Midwest, temperatures will be warmer than normal on most days from now through not only the end of this week, but even on into next week as well. So all in all, kind of a quiet, late fall, early winter type of pattern here in the States, as all the more significant cold stays way up north in the northerly latitude.
Quiet sounds pretty good. Does it stay that way longer than the next week or so?
Yeah, we do see that persisting next week as well. And in fact, it looks like much of December is just simply going to feature this lack of any kind of extreme cold. One thing we're watching here very longer term, like into January, is that there are some indications that the polar vortex is going to become a little more weaker in nature or starting to become a bit more unsettled. So as we go through the remainder of December, so that's something to watch for potential cold down the road. But you're talking a long ways off, like in January, and that is debatable right now.
I like debatable on that one. Let's hope that we don't have to debate it and it's not going to show up. Turn your attention to South America. We have had some troubles there, though rain began to fall in some of those areas. Tell me about the last several days and what you see over the next week or so.
Yeah, Todd, this past weekend featured the best rain activity in central and northern Brazil, from the states of Paraná up northward through eastern Mato Grosso do Sul, parts of Mato Grosso, even Sao Paulo, Goiás, and western Minas Gerais. And that zone of more active conditions will continue to be aligned across central and northern Brazil over the next couple of weeks. It's far southern Brazil in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, and then down into Argentina. That is the zone of inactive conditions. And ultimately, that is where rainfall looks to register below normal for the next couple of weeks. But that area has improved, but beginning to now shift the zone of dryness further south. No sign of any heat or long duration heat accompanying the below normal precip, but that is now at least the focus of attention in terms of the driest areas as we go through the remainder of December.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. Thanks for having me.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand. We're at willag.org. Just click and play. We're now joined by Brian Stark. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. Tell me about the situation on the ground in East Central Illinois.
Well, I think obviously things have been quiet the last couple of weeks with the lack of big China announcements on the export side, and with some better weather, rain-wise, precipitation landing in key growing areas in South America, the market's kind of taken basically a profit into the month, and further liquidation is some of their length here for the better part of the last week. We're finally trying to find some stabilization today, and I think a lot of that matches up with some key tech support points on the charts, and hopefully we'll find some user interest, because I can tell you the producer, while the market fell south the last week, has remained very, very quiet on the selling side.
How have local end user bases been holding up for both corn and soybeans?
I would say in general, it's been steady to farmer in the past couple of weeks. Specifically, if you look at the processor level in Decatur, Illinois, they continue to strengthen their corn basis. not as aggressive as the, on the bean side, but certainly corn has showed some strength. And as the board kind of goes, the end user has to utilize the basis a little bit more to pry bushels into the pipeline, especially as we get closer to the holidays here at the end of the month, where it's really hard to get grain to move.
To the southeast, has the rail basis been holding up for you as well?
Rail basis, I would say, is a little more mixed going to the southeast. I think end users tend to get coverage a little bit differently than the truck processor market. They'll book a lot of their coverage at the beginning of the month, and then traders kind of disappear the last 2 weeks of December. And I think we've seen a little bit softer tone in the last couple of days at the end of last week. And that generally signifies that the end users kind of left hand to mouth and now are going to take kind of a pause here as they've got their December coverage on and look to see what happens here after we turn the new year at the beginning of January.
We often talk during the shows about companies and funds evening up as we get to the end of the year. Part of that's due to taxes. Same thing probably happens with producers. What are they doing at this time? Anything?
I think the selling is kind of wound down. I think we saw a little bit of selling as we reached, 440 on the March here a week, 10 days ago. And I think it's been pretty quiet. I think a lot of them have taken advantage of generating the cash that they need, are pretty much squared away. And I don't anticipate a lot of heavy selling from the producer unless we get back to the recent contract highs in the old crop months, $12 on beans, $4.40 on corn. And they'll be willing to wait until after that occurs or after the first of the year sometime.
Your expectation for the month of January, it feels like elevators have bought an awful lot of the grain that came in already.
I would say on beans, we're estimating the producer 75% to 80% sold. Corn, 50% to 55%. I think there's still a lot of corn on the countryside that has to move at some point in time. And it generally, the next wave happens in the Jan, Feb, March timeframe. But I think beans are the ones that are going to be interesting to watch because I just don't anticipate a lot of beans got stored on the farm this fall. A lot of them got brought to town and that bench space got filled with corn instead.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
That's Brian Stark. He's from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. As we wrap up our time together, just another reminder that if you've not registered yet for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, the 2020 version, you should do so. There are still three of those programs left, one of them tomorrow, Friday again, and then next Tuesday. They all start at 11 o'clock, just a webinar, so you can stay home, get yourself logged on to whatever device you're using, and it's free. You can find a link on our website at willag.org for the Farm Economic Seminars, or you can go to farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Now, tomorrow's important because there's new information about that ARC PLC decision. You'll need to make that again if you're a producer, a landowner, ARC PLC decision for the 21 growing season. And there are a couple of extra things there. SCO, which you may be familiar with, and ECO, which we talked about last week on this program. All that explained tomorrow during the webinar with Gary Schnitke, Jonathan Kappas, and Nick Paulson. You can sign up again at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu or look for the link at willag.org.